My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am overjoyed to be with you again this week for this week's podcast episode. So this episode is audio only again. Today, I'm giving you a sneak preview into my new book, How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts, How to Assess for Family, Friends, and Lovers who are Available for Love or Partners who are Available for Love. And I cannot wait to read you these passages to hook y'all up with the info. I could not, for the life of me, figure out a very cool, like, split screen where you could see the text and also see me. And I've been fumbling with it, and I don't know if this is just an extended Mercury retrograde kind of thing. Like, I'm even looking at the audio level thing on the app that I'm recording on, and it's giving me bars that are very, very small. So I'm going to boost up this audio so that hopefully you can hear, because I know that there was a point like a year or so ago where the audio is coming out really low. I know my sound editor is going to edit it. Shout out to you, Jel. I love you, girl. But this episode is already late, so I'm going to go ahead and upload it. So anyways, y'all, all that to say, this is an audio only episode for this week. I look forward to being back on video for real this time in the next couple of weeks. But this is such important information to get out to you. So I wrote this book, How to Pick Partners, because that's what this is all about, right? This is all about not only illuminating where it is that our trauma shows up in our life, how it shows up in our life, getting awareness about the types of cycles that we've had in our relationships, whether or not it's love addiction or love avoidance or codependency. Because remember, all love addicts are codependent, but not all codependents are love addicts. The perfectionism that a lot of us may work through, the difficulty trusting, all the things, right? So this podcast isn't just for self-awareness, it's to help change your life. And I want to give every single person who listens to this podcast, who finds this information helpful, who's done my programs, everything, to give everyone another tangible tool that you can use to find, pick, and select and keep the right partners in your life in whatever facet you have them in, because all relationships require the same foundation of safety. What we do within those relationships may vary depending on whether or not it's a romantic partnership or family or friendship or chosen family, right? But our coworkers, right? But this is all information that we need. So again, in today's episode, I'm going to be reading you a passage from the book to help give you those tools and everything. And I'm going to start off by going over the table of contents so that you can know what is inside the book as well. And I think that's also going to be good for you, because I think sometimes it could be very quick to try to rush the process. Like, I want to be healed so I can find the partner, but there are multiple steps that come into that. So even in me talking about the table of contents, you're going to find information for that. And a lot of other good things before we get into the passage. So that's it for now. Let's go ahead and jump on in. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, I needed to say what I was going to say before the jump is that I'm also once I figured out, okay, Sheena, stop trying to make this perfect. Let's get it out for the girls. I was like, okay, I need to get this out now. And I have therapy in literally 8 minutes. So I'm going to do the table of contents portion
Hopefully, when I come back and transition, the sound is going to be the same. Again, apologies. Deepest apologies if for some reason it is not, but I'm going to try to get the sound to be the same, and then go ahead and post this, because if you're a longtime listener, you already know I've talked about how I am like Cinderella. Like my brain, my effort has a expiration time, and I'm very close to it. So right now I'm all high energy and everything, and I do not want to come back, even though it's an hour later, or up to 2 hours later, and sound real tired. Chances are, if therapy is right, because I do somatic experiencing, I do a lot of body work when I release trauma, I might be a little fatigued, but that's okay. That means it's working. So shout out to everyone who's doing the hard work, releasing all the inner child wounding and everything. Oh my gosh, what if I'm like so high right now and then I come back after this and y'all are like, damn. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump on in. As I promised, let's talk about this table of contents, aka the things that you need to know to make sure that you're picking people who are available for you. Okay, so y'all may hear some clicking as well. Some clicking and some mouse moving. So their book is split into three parts. The first part, I'm talking about how do we get to this place where we are in these cycles. The second part of the book, I'm breaking down what is availability versus unavailability. And in part three, we are talking about how to apply this information to your relationships. There are steps laid out throughout the whole book. And there's also an accompanying workbook where you can do all the exercises and more. The actual book, again, I wish that this was on video. I'll see if I can actually take a picture and make it like the cover photo or something for this episode if you're watching on YouTube. There is a picture of me with both of the books on social media already, but the main book is black. And so, oh my God, it's so cute. It's black and white with like, I'm not gonna be able to describe it well, but a little pink person that shows that you're selecting the right person. And then the actual workbook is, a corresponding pink. It's just so cute and aesthetic and I love it. And so, but there are different steps and work for you to do throughout the book. In fact, I asked one of my former students. So this is a student who's come to the retreat. She has done my bigger program. She's done smaller programs. And even this is a text she sent me. She said, the book is going really good. She had to stop reading it because she was forced to think and actually complete the activities. She said, reading the book in addition to going through your program, listening to your podcast is like, you know me and the things I struggle with. It feels like the oddest thing. Like, how does Sheena know? How are you so accurately able to add language to what I've struggled with for more than half my life? Reading the book provided that deja vu feeling that I felt previously going through your programs. And so that is the hugest compliment, because I want everyone who gets this book to have that experience as well, whether or not you've gone through my programs or not, to feel like this book was written for me. And I really hope that it aligns for y'all. So in part one, the how we got here, you're going to learn about what makes it hard for love addicts to pick people. You're going to learn why love addicts miss red flags. In chapter three, all about ignored red flags, trauma, and danger. In part two of the book, this is chapters 4 through 11, you're going to have the opportunity to pre-assess your primary relationships so that you can pick your family, you can pick your friends, you can pick your lovers, you can pick up current lovers or exes, you can pick your crushes, the people that you're thinking about giving time to. In chapter five, you're going to learn about availability. What is it exactly that you are looking for? And then in chapter six, this is where I'm breaking down the, I'm listing the 40 signs of availability and unavailability. There are 20 of each, y'all. There are 20 of each that no matter the relationship, no matter whether or not you're trying to pick a partner for a lifetime, or which one of your family members to trust or not, who's a friend of me, who's not a friend of me, which one of your coworkers to trust, there are signs in each of these relationships, and it's not the ones that we hear about all the time. Some of them are there, but for the most part, this is a very clear picture of these are the actions and these are the things to look out for. You're going to hear about some of them today and maybe in some other future episodes when I give other previews. So I'm breaking those down. And then chapter 7 is where I go into more detail about the 20 signs of availability with examples of each, what to look for, what does it feel like for you when this is happening, when someone is available, and what are the things that they're going to be doing for this particular sign or characteristic to show that they're available. And then in chapter 9, I'm doing the same thing, but for signs of unavailability. Then, because nothing is black and white in chapter 9, I'm giving a few special considerations for us to keep in mind whenever it comes to finding and determining, is someone available or not? Is this a life stage issue? Is this about neurodivergence? Is this about other things? Is this about mental illness? You know, and so we break that down, or I break that down in chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, so excited. This is one of the reasons why the book was pushed back a little bit more. I have come up with the availability scale for relationships. And so you will be able to actually tell, I've talked about different levels of intimacy and how to know if people should be in your inner circle, whether or not they should be associates or friends or people to keep on the outside. Now there is a clear, measurable scale based on the things that you're learning in this book to break down what level are these people in, what does it look like when someone is best friend, lover, partner availability, BLP, which is the highest level, and then who are the people to be close friends? Who are the people that should be casual acquaintances? Who are people that you should be like, wait, you're a stranger? The section is literally called Stranger Danger. And then also there is a section that talks about putting the focus on you, whether or not you are available. How are you showing up? And then in part 3, it is now time for my session, y'all. So I'm wrapping this up and then I'm gonna jump back in. You're going to be looking at reassessing your relationships now after you have read this whole book. Now, if you applied all these things, where do these relationships line up now? Now we're going to talk about in chapter 13, what do you do when you find out that someone is available? What are the next steps you're going to take? And by the way, you can find the book on Amazon, written by Sheena Lashay. And that's S-H-E-N-A-L-A-S-H-E-Y. So when you find that the people on the other side of this are available, how is it that I interact with them now? Especially if you have been having issues with regarding trust, moving closer to people, letting people in, or things are doing great, but you want to maintain it, right? Chapter 14, what do you do when you find that this person is unavailable, right? In chapter 15, I talk about how to communicate your new needs. There's a section that talks about if you have new needs that you've discovered or that you want by reading this book or just by your own personal self-growth, how do you communicate these needs to someone who's available? And then there's a different section of how do you communicate these needs to someone when they are unavailable, right? Because you're going to use different communications tactics for a lot of reasons, which I'll get into either later this episode or next episode or in other episodes. Chapter 16, for those of us who, where it's been us, we're going to talk about how do you apologize and make amends if there are any people that you want to move closer to. Chapter 17, I'm going to talk to you about how do you find available people and also how do you become available yourself. And chapter 18 is the conclusion and final encouragement for you. And then, of course, there's additional resources. So again, this book, I put my heart and soul into it. I hope that even if the whole book is not for you, as always, you can take something, take what you need and leave the rest. And please, please make sure if you get this book, if you've already gotten it, please make sure that you're tagging me on social media and letting me know what you think. And if this is inspiring you to get it, please do that afterwards. So let me go to therapy and come back with our preview. All right.
We hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So we already know that we're living in a world where there are so many things that can interrupt our health and hormones. With there being thousands of hormone disruptors in our environment, with everything from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, it is even more important that we keep our bodies regulated internally. When we can help our natural hormone processes, like the symptoms of our monthly cycles, perimenopause, and menopause, find relief and ease with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony's formula is made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Using science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressor and hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Some symptoms may include PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and loss of interest in intimacy. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
All right, y'all. I am back. Oh my gosh, that is crazy. My microphone sound is different. I can tell because the little sound bars are a lot bigger. That is wild. Why does that happen? All right. Anyways, hopefully when this goes out, the sound is not that crazy after the break. So anyways, I decided I'm going to focus on three signs of availability so that we can know what are the green flags for us to look out for. Each one of the sections goes into, like I said, a lot of information about each one of these qualities. I mean, enough to where you're not going to be reading the book for years on end, but enough to where it's going to give you a clear picture of what it looks like and how you should feel in it. So I'm going to read those sections and then add more tangents and details as I come up for each one of these three. So I hope that you find it helpful. And before I jump in, one question that I get all the time, which is also inspired by this book, or one of the reasons why I put out the book, is if you are avoidant or if you are a love addict and you're in a partnership with someone who is avoidant or vice versa, can you make it work? Can you make it work with people basically who have different attachment styles? And the answer is yes. Even though people may have areas of growth, it's more about is the person willing to work on it. And so that's the other thing I really like about this book is that it doesn't require people to be perfect. It's more about how are they showing up? What's the energy around when they're showing up? If or when there's problems, what are the things that they are doing? Because we're all going to have our growth areas. And so it can work. And because this is a question that I get all the time, on January 8th, I am doing a workshop. It's a Wednesday evening, January 8th, 2025, where I'm finally going to be going into how do you make it work when you are avoidant and you're in a relationship with an addict, or if you're a love addictive and you're in partnership with an avoidant. I'm going to be going over, if you are the addict who is in the relationship with the avoidant, this is what you're experiencing, this is what you're feeling, this is what you're thinking, and this is how you can make it work. If you're an avoidant, this is what you're thinking, this is what you're feeling, and this is how you make it work. And then also for both of those styles, what if you try those things and it doesn't work because the person is not, that this is a relationship that is salvageable because the other person is not committed to it, what do you do next? We're going to be going over all of that evening. I will be teaching it live. It will be a Q&A. At first, I was going to do it as just like a workshop or a mini course to sell on its own. So you can just have it on demand. But the more I got into writing it out, I'm like, this is going to be something that people have a million follow-up questions on and want to ask about their personal experiences. And so this is going to be better to do live so that I can answer the questions of the people who are interested. And also, every time other people's questions are someone else's story. So if anyone purchases it afterwards, you will get the benefit of that coaching as well. So that's what we're doing. So you can join that workshop by going to blackgirlsheal.org/make it work. Again, blackgirlsheal.org/make it work. And I look forward to seeing you there. Okay. So without further ado, let's talk about these qualities. So starting at number one, I'm going to start with the first one that's in the book, which is person who is available, which is the way that you know someone's available. This is someone who is emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, and sexually nurturing for you as a friend, partner, colleague, chosen family, etc., but someone who is safe. The first quality for you to look for is someone who respects your boundaries. This person knows what feels safe for you and your limits and honors them. They do not force or guilt you to change them to accommodate their own comfort level or what they want. They are intentionally considerate and may actively anticipate how to show up within the guidelines of what make you feel safe and supported. They also maturely express their boundaries and needs to you. If you breach their boundaries, they can have a respectful conversation with you about what happened and what they prefer to happen instead. If what you're asking for contradicts their own personal boundaries and needs, they can communicate this to you respectfully without blame and accusation as well. You have cooperative conversations to find compromise when it aligns with what you both want. If you're not able to make a compromise, you are able to determine if the relationship needs to be adjusted or may not be the best fit. Kindness and curiosity are at the forefront of all boundary conversations. So here's what I really want folks to keep in mind when it comes to whether or not this can fit for you. At the core of everything that I really want us to understand here is that love and relationships can be easy. Some of us have been so tuned in to struggle love. So many of us have been in households that were very loud. You know, there's a phrase that says, if you grew up in a household with an angry man, you'll have an angry man in your home. And a lot of people will be like, well, that's not me because I've found someone who isn't really aggressive. And so then the point of that saying is a lot of times people use it for you to look at yourself. How is your relationship with anger? You know, do you express your emotions? Do you allow yourself to blow up? If it's not outward, do you punish yourself internally because of all the volatility and emotions that you have inside of you? And I'm only giving that example because the households that we grow up in will serve as the template of what we think is normal. So when we see people who talk about having peaceful relationships, if it is not on our experiences, if it's not something that we've personally seen, we're like, they're lying. That can't be true. I bet behind closed doors, this is what happens. You know, give it 5 years, give it 10 years. And it's hard for us to really conceptualize that, yeah, there can be households and relationships where stress, trauma, intrusiveness, and abuse, manipulation, and compromise that not only is about you settling, but it actually takes away from you. I will meet so many people, especially if you're at the beginning stages of your codependency work and everything, is you will underestimate how much the little adjustments that you make are not just for the sake of the relationship, but you're actually losing a part of yourself. You're losing a part of your voice. You're losing a part of your independence, that you are giving more than you're actually receiving. Because you don't really know what your own boundaries are, because you are in partnerships with people where your experience is not important to them. A healthy person is able to not only respect their own boundaries and come to you as a full person and say, this is what I want and this is what I need, and still have space for what you need and what you want. If you are in your love addictive state, it is very easy for you to hear what somebody else needs and for you to quickly be like, okay, I can work with that. Like, I can meet you where you are. I can lower my standards. I can work with you. And in the moment, I talk about this in the book, you don't even realize that you're doing it. Because you may have either watched other women or other people before you completely lose themselves in relationships for the sake of making a relationship work, or you have idolized love and relationships so much, you don't even notice when you have slipped down into that crack, into that crevice of abandoning yourself until you're months in or years into a relationship where your needs are not being met and neglected. And you're wondering, you know, I've given so much, I've compromised so much, I'm respecting this other person's boundaries. When is it my turn? It's because was this person giving you signs from the beginning that they cared about what you wanted? Did this person earnestly ask and seek to understand? And there are other qualities in this book that talk about what it also looks like. What are the other factors that come in that work with this? Were they earnestly trying to get to know you and understand what you wanted? When you asked for what it is that you needed, did they attend to it? Did you even ask? You know, right now, I really love to study male and female relationships and just learn from other people about what are some of the things that we think we may know about the opposite gender for those of us who are in romantic partnerships with them, or those of us who are raising them, or just, I mean, just living in the world, right? And so one thing that is so underestimated that I'll speak for myself when it comes to this. I definitely know that this relates to my clientele as well, to people I've worked with and to many of you listening, but we will underestimate how much, if you're in relationship with a man, a healthy man, to be clear, all you have to do is say, I need this and that man, because you have clearly said what it is that you need, he will hop into action. Y'all, once I started to use this language and stop beating around the bush and apologizing for things and, you know, trying to say at the right moment, the right time. And I've said this before, once I just said clearly and I said exactly, this is what I need without all the theatrics around it, the way the doors would open, right? Because these were healthy men who cared about me and wanted to make me happy. If anything, they were like, what else do you need? What more can I do for you? Right? They wanted to know when and where and how far they could go in order to make me feel comfortable and make me feel happy. And this is friendships and romantic partnerships, right? But if you are so quick to abandon yourself just for the sake of being in companionship, if you have an underlying belief that what you want is too much, or that is impossible, or that is so silly, or that when it comes down to asking someone for what you want, you have to put all this other flowery language around it and apologize and say sorry for asking for too much, or you think you're going to get brownie points from someone, especially in a male relationship, a male-female relationship, for making yourself needless and wantless, a healthy man, that's going to annoy him. He wants to know, how can he support you? Give me a job so I can do it. Tell me where to go. Direct me. Let me be here for you, right? Making yourself smaller does not make you more appealing unless this person is narcissistic, unless they just want a Barbie in the household, unless they want someone just for show, unless they're more focused on their own things. And yeah, you probably will get in a relationship with someone where that is something that they praise. Around other people about how little you want and how easy you are. I remember one of the first relationships where I heard that, and that ended up coming back and biting us both in the butt, because I was not being honest about what it is that I needed and that I wanted. And so when it came time for us to grow as people, because he actually ended up being someone who, I mean, we were young, so we were both still growing as people. But he did end up being someone who was like, look, the easy road is not what I want. I want you. So talk to me. Let's have an adult conversation. And I'm like, you know, in my Disney princess era, I'm totally fine. You know, everything's good. And girl, that was the beginning of the end for a lot of different reasons. And so respecting your boundaries includes you knowing what your boundaries are, and that you're also holding space for your own limits and what honors you too. And that's why there's a whole section in the book that talks about, are you available for other people, and turning these same premises onto yourself as well. Okay. Number two, which one, let me see, there are 20 here. Which one do I want to do? Oh, that's a long one. There's a section here about emotional availability. Might make that separate episode in itself. Let's do this one. Keeps their commitments to you. Number two for today's episode. The second sign of availability is someone who keeps their commitments to you. With this person, you can trust that what they say they are going to do, you can trust that when this person says they're going to show up to provide a favor or do a task for you, they will do so. It is important for them to show up and be a consistent source of support for your life. Let me repeat that. It is important for them, to them. It is their, to them personally. It is important for them to show up and be a consistent support, that source of support in your life. It's not that you think it's important. This is me speaking off script, y'all. It's not that you think it's important. So this is for me telling you to keep this in mind, to make sure that this is important to you. No, this is a person that even if you hadn't asked them to do so, they are like, look, Tina has this thing going on. How can I make sure that I can be there for her? How can I show up for her? How can I send her food? How can I make sure that I'm going to, you know, attend there? Do you need a ride? Do you need someone to be there for you? Do you want me to call you afterwards? It is important for them to show up and be consistent in their source of support for you because they're here for you. You can trust their word and that they will not flake on their commitment to you when something better comes along or just because they've changed their mind. You understand that in life, things happen and every person has full ownership to change their mind, say no, evaluate their capacity, and pivot. However, in regard to this qualifier, this person, their need to pivot is the exception rather than the norm. In other words, even when life happens, which it will, you know, we can't always be 100% all the time, but it is not, they are not normally canceling on you and then saying they're going to have to make it up later. Even if they do make it up later, we need to pay attention to if I have a friend that always says that they are going to be there for me or support me, but when it comes to the last minute, something happens, this is not an A for effort. Right? Like this, you have maybe an A for intention, or maybe actually a B minus. Actually, if I'm going to be honest, like maybe you're great. You get an A for giving me the words that you really want to be there for me. You are excellent in telling me all the things that I want to hear in the moment to let me know that I have someone on my side. But when it comes to you actually showing up for me, you got a D. You got a D, friend. You got a D, person who wants to be with me. You have an F family member who says that they're always in my corner until such and such comes around and then they got to, you know, tap out, right? This person, a person that's available, keeps their commitments to you. Continuing the read, you know the availability of this person and they do their best to provide you with the security and safety of consistency. See the special considerations chapter for notes on the impact of neurodivergent disorders on this quality. And then also there are several other things within that chapter that talk about what may get in the way, you know, because like I said, life does happen. You know, there is death. There are new lives that come into the world. There is tragedy. There are natural disasters. There are financial concerns. There is mental health issues. There are so many things. There's distance. There's car issues. You know, there's Mercury retrograde and things aren't working. Electronics aren't working. There are so many things that get in the way. But it's up to you to be honest with yourself about whether or not this person is consistently there. One of the things that I want y'all to keep in mind when you're doing this book, and I know I talk about it in general in the writing and here on the podcast, just to repeat what I just said, this is not about giving people A for effort. Sometimes what I can be susceptible to, even in the work that I've done up until now, if I've met someone new, friendship or otherwise, that I really want, like I see all the ways that we connect and like what could happen, I want to give everybody A's across the board. I want to give them 10s across the board. I want to give them all 5 stars for every single quality because we vibe, because they have great energy, because, you know, we really connect. But you have to be honest with yourself. Like this could be an amazing person, but do they only show up for me 60% of the time? Do they actually only make time for me half of the time, which is another quality? How often do they tell me the truth about things, right? Is it that whenever they get caught doing something that's unavailable, am I trying to give them credit because they're really apologetic? Is this an area in my life? Sheena has listed 20 qualities of availability for me to look out for, but because I'm so used to neglecting my needs and not expecting anything of anyone, when I look at this, my brain doesn't even register what this would feel like in my body if someone did this for me, because I'm so used to just having to do it all on my own. I'm so used to just kind of living on my own with this. I'm so used to, you know, not having expectations for someone to love me in this way, even though there's a secret desire for me that one day when I'm in the in a healthy partnership or have the family that I want or have the right amount of children that I'm going to feel fulfillment in this area. That's why I may be so over-focused on relationships outside of the normal human desire for companionship and love and, you know, things that are innate to us as human beings that are not signs of deficiency or trauma or whatever else. Like, it is healthy for us to want partnership. But outside of that, I'm hoping that when I find the right person, when I find the one, when I find my soulmate, that they're going to be able to give me all these unmet needs that I have been so, fully and neglecting about myself. And I use that word, not haphazardly, but just, I just remember I would find solace. One way that I would really use some of my faith beliefs was to co-sign the codependent and self-neglect that I had learned early on. I would cling to scriptures that talked about how blessed the martyrs were and how they are, you know, forgotten, ignored, and forsaken or whatever, because mine is the kingdom of heaven, right? And I'm going to get everything I want and more. So it's okay to be in suffering. And I hate to say the sentence right after talking about holy text, but bullshit. Like, there's also scripture that talks about, I'm convinced that I will see the goodness of the Lord here on earth. Here on earth, which means what? Which means abundant love, which means peace that transcends all understanding, which means feeling safe and content like y'all. Like, that's actually what I can hope to expect instead of allowing myself to be in relationships with people who intentionally neglect, harm, and forget me, and acting as if it's my cross to bear. Acting as if it's not just as amazing and holy for me to be in relationships with people who treat me with the love of God, with the love of spirit, with the love of universe, of whatever it is that you believe. Like, why is that not able to be God's will for me to feel the hands and feet of Christ, for me to feel the abundance of God here on earth, instead of waiting until this unknown date to maybe feel it? And I feel like for those of us who have been so used to being forgotten and ignored in life, we will take that as our cross to bear. And I just need you to know that there's an alternative, that it is possible for us to find relationships that meet these qualities. And so when I was even writing this and I was doing all of like the qualifiers and everything of it, I've actually tested this out with several clients when I was still doing my one-on-ones. You know, I pulled out the scale for a few people and I was like, okay, tell me about your best friends and your relationships. And we went through all 20 of the qualifiers and guess what? All of their best friends hit all 20 of them. And when we're looking at partners and people that they were dating, they were marking the qualifiers and there were none of the red flags for the unavailable ones. And then when we were looking at the exes, that was all front and center, right? So for me, someone like me, who part of my healing has been unlearning that maybe I'm asking for too much, right? I need you to know that whenever you get this book and you get all the other qualities and you see everything that's there, it is possible for someone to meet, many people to meet, the majority of people that you have in your inner circle. Actually, I think all the people who are in your inner circle need to meet all 20 of these qualifiers. And I'm just going to say that straight out. Or if they don't meet all 20, because there's also scales in there like this, they may not be a best friend, but they are a really close friend. Or this may be someone who, is a great associate or acquaintance. And I talk about the reasons why they may be better in that area, but they're not giving you four or five signs of unavailability and you're trying to make it work because when y'all get together, y'all can laugh about things, right? Or y'all connected because y'all grew up in the same way, in the same neighborhood. And so you're trying to make this work because you have a shared history. Or y'all both said that y'all are interested in building businesses together and y'all both entrepreneurial girlies and you want to build a network. And so you're trying to make a best friend relationship out of someone who's showing you that they are not available, right? Like, we can have everything that we want in these relationships, as long as we keep our eyes open for the people who are there for us and ready to be in relationship with us. Okay. And let me pick one more. Let me scroll to find one more. Let me pause this while I scroll. Okay, the third one that I'm going to share, even though it seems I'm tempted to not share it because it may seem pretty self-explanatory, but I can't tell you how often I see this. And I think it's actually kind of a sticking point for many of us when it comes to finding relationships with people who are available and like feeling really disenchanted by it. Because the third quality that I'm going to share out of the 20 signs of availability is someone who is fun to be around according to what is fun for you. So this person brings joy into your life. There's laughter and fun. This laughter and fun may be quiet and more subdued, or it may be loud and raunchy. It can be sweet and good-natured, or when you two get together, you may have a dry sense of humor or throw jokes around that are not safe for work. No matter the flavor, you two get each other, mutually enjoy each other, and feel pleasure in each other's presence. You have genuine fun and truly enjoy yourself when you're spending time with them. Codependent people struggle with focusing on their own needs and enjoyment. They will overprioritize the satisfaction and security of others, even to their own detriment, because they don't have a connection to their own internal compass for what is pleasurable and safe for them. They will over-rely on the validation and experiences of others to tell them that they are safe or doing a good job. For recovering codependents, be mindful to not equate your enjoyment and taking care of this person to be the same as having fun with them. Some codependents feel most at home when with those they get to mother and nurture. Thus, these relationships can be reflexively described as fun because they feel pleasure in being needed and helping the other person. Okay? And so there's some more that comes into that section, but right there, that's a mouthful already, right? I see so often people who are connected to other people that they, I'm going to basically repeat what I just wrote, that they feel like this is someone that they have a lot of fun around or they feel so comfortable around is because you have stepped right into the same role that you've had your whole life. Your whole life, or a good majority of your life, may have been described as your role in the family, your role in the friendship, your role in the classroom, your role in whatever has been to be the caretaker, right? So of course that's where you feel natural. And of course that's what feels easy to you because you get to oversee, you get to be the one that's in charge of making sure everyone feels comfortable and safe. You get a lot of praise when you're in this position. You get a whole lot of "you're so wonderful," which always feels so good. You always get a whole lot of "you really understand me," which totally like makes you feel important and makes you feel like you're special. And here's the thing. You can be all of those things. It's not that you being a caretaker is wrong. It's like on the list of people's priority and fun, and the list of fun, is your name at the top of the list, is even in the top three, right? Like when you're looking at what is fun for you, is that something that is clued into this, or do you go with what the majority of what other people want to do and then you kind of go along with it? Are you just happy to be in the mix, even if the other people there aren't really your sense of humor? You know, you may have different styles, you may have different goals in life, you may not want to run at the same pace as them, but just you being in connection with them is what you're wanting, right? It's a break from any felt sense of loneliness. It's the need to belong is actually what feels fun for you, but it's actually not fun. It's that you're being, that need to be connected is the itch that's being scratched, and you're kind of muting or dismissing some of the ways that these people might not be good fits for you because it feels better to be in a tribe, to be in community, to feel like you belong to something or someone versus not. And so this first section, I'll read it again. This person brings true joy into your life. There is laughter and fun. They are making you belly laugh. They are making you kick your feet up in joy. They are making your eyes delight when you see them, not when they see you, and then your eyes delight because you see that you're wanted and you're needed. But you know that when you're going to be with them, you're going to have a good time, right? That is what you're looking for because your pleasure is important. Your pleasure is a priority. so many of us, our trauma has been, we've learned how to just go from thing to thing, from work to work, from task to task, from gym to work to, you know, accomplishment to goal to brunch to everything else. And we may be marking and doing all the things that are supposed to be fun, but how often do we get to actually tap into our pleasure for our bodies to be at rest, for our bodies to be at ease? Fun is easy. Fun is has carefree to be a part of it. Fun does not require you to be on at all, but just to exist. And so do you have people that allow you to just have fun? Okay. All right. So that is it for the preview. I do think I'm going to do another chapter if y'all are in another section. So I gave that overview of what is in the book. If you would like me to do another one, let me know. But for now, like I said, you can get this book on Amazon. I am working to get on other retailer sites like Barnes and Nobles and other ones. But for right now, it's on Amazon. How to Pick Partners for Love Addicts and by Sheena Lachey. And remember, there is the black book, which is the main book, and then the pink one, which is the workbook, and you can get them both together. But I would really love to see everybody at the How to Make It Work workshop in 4 weeks from the time that I'm recording this on Wednesday, January 8th, so that you can know how do I make it work with someone who I may have a different attachment style with, even if they are someone who is not knowing that I'm doing this. Is there a way that I can own my part to make this happen? And you absolutely can. So again, blackgirlsheal.org/make it work. And we will talk about all that then. All right. So that is it for now. Oh, and if you cannot attend, yes, you can submit a question ahead of time and I will answer it during the workshop so you can watch it when you are able to attend. All right. Okay, so that's it for real. I'm sending you all so much love, and I will see you in the next episode. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.